Now, before I read the text for this morning, it just is important for me to remember to say that on the walk on Wednesday, how impressed I was. Where is Jasmine? There you are, love. There's Jasmine. Fantastic. Well done. What a fantastic walk you did. And who's at the back there? Natasha. Yeah? Natasha. Well done, love. Fantastic. You walked so well on Wednesday. So proud of you. And I don't want to embarrass her, but here is Charlotte, who's now a mum with children, who was once on one of our camps. We've got a great photograph of Charlotte with her T-shirt on. I can't remember which year that camp was, but anyway, it's quite some time ago, as I'm sure she can remember. But here she is this morning, a Christian, someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. She came on one of our camps all those years ago. And so I'd like all of the boys and girls, the young people, to listen as well as you can, just for a short time, to the message which I want to preach this morning. I'm speaking on the subject of generosity, in the hope that we can rouse generosity and that we can understand biblical generosity. The text says this. This is Titus chapter 3. At the end of the fifth verse, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So I'm drawing to your attention this Bible word. The Bible is the word of God, and every word is inspired. And here the Holy Spirit inspires the apostle to use this word, generosity, or generous, or generously. And it is in this context that the Holy Spirit is poured out generously. And to get an idea of what Paul's word means, we have to understand something of what the word generous means. Well, to be generous is to give freely. To be generous is to be magnanimous. And the best definition, the one I like most of all, it is this. It is to be noble. Now, who would have thought of it? That the word generous means to be noble. It is to be noble, to be free from pettiness, to be free from meanness. And to be noble means to have lofty ideals. Oh, I like that. To be generous is to be free from meanness. It is to have lofty, high, lofty ideals. And of course, if we know what generosity means, we know the opposite of it. We know that it is to be mean. So I leave these thoughts in your mind. Generosity and meanness. Generosity, a noble thing, a high and lofty thing. Meanness, what a low and ugly thing. And the Bible is clear that it is better to give than it is to receive. What a noble thing to share our gifts, to share our lives, to share our money, to share our time. Now, it's impossible to speak on a subject like this without, of course, causing some discomfort to someone. And the reason for that is because we tend naturally to descend and not to ascend. And to be generous is to be noble. It is to have a lofty and high ideal, but we tend naturally not to ascend, but to descend. It saddens me tremendously to see children who were being educated and pressed and pressed and pressed to get A stars in mathematics and English and chemistry and I don't know what else. Oh, very good, keep doing it. But what a noble thing to get an A star in generosity. What a noble thing that would be for our children. It's an ugly thing to be bereft of generosity. And of course, as we start to think about it, we cannot help but think about the perfections of God. And as we think about his perfections, we have to think about his generosity. And we have to think that he is noble and that he has lofty ideals and that our God is generous. And I just set out three things for you. You can hold on to them. You can remember them. Generosity is willing to let go. That's the first thing. Generosity is willing to let go. Now, I can imagine that even the very word and the thought of it and the possibility that the Bible might say something to me might make us immediately uncomfortable. But it will be good for you. Listen carefully. It is about this willingness to let go for the benefit of another. Funnily enough, we all want people to be generous to us and to let go for our sakes. And how unwilling we are, naturally, to let go for others. And the Bible teaches us that God, the God of heaven, has only one son. So precious, he loves him so dearly, but he was willing to let him go. And the Bible amazingly says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Because he is so noble, because he is so generous, because he has such lofty ideals, he wishes to do so much good to us. You know, when we are precious about something, we're grasping about it. We don't want to share it. We don't want it to allow it to go to others. No, we see our own needs first. And when we read the Bible, the Son who shared eternity with God the Father, the Son who is the radiance of God's glory, the Son who is everything to the Heavenly Father, he was willing to let him go. And you know, that's not for a people who would appreciate him. That's not for a people who would welcome him, but for his enemies, for those who spurned him in the past, for those who have little or no time. Could you imagine yourself being generous to such people? I think not. It's an amazing thing for us to stop and acknowledge the generosity of God. In fact, I think it's the mark of a true Christian. A true Christian is someone who's stopped and seen God's generosity in giving his dear son. What a noble thing. The Apostle Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. It should be this morning at least a challenge to us. If there is no mark in us that we have been struck by the generosity of God, that even this morning in this message, we might be stopped in our tracks to think for the first time about such generosity. Generous to the greedy. Generous to the mean. Generous to the hateful, generous to those who are bent upon their own interests, generous to those who are committed to their own ways, generous to those who have rejected God all of their lives. What a God is our God. I have to admit, it is a wonder that God has been so generous to us. And for my own part, if I may say, I cannot help but love God. I cannot help but love him, for I am so struck by his generosity. If I ask you, in this world, are you not impressed when you see the deep generosity of people? Oh yes, you admire them, you think they're wonderful, and yet when it is God's generosity, we're not remotely touched, we're not remotely affected. How strange this is, the generosity of God. It is a generosity that lets go. But not just that. Secondly, it's a generosity that wishes to enrich others. Generosity that wishes to enrich others. Don't you find it moving to think that God in heaven was thinking of us, was thinking of me, was thinking of you when he sent his son? And there's no point saying you got any credit because you haven't got a single credit. You're not in God's good books. You're unlovely. You're spiritually at rock bottom. And yet God wishes to enrich us. Perhaps all of our lives we have learned to do the wrong things. We call that which is evil good. We call good evil. And yet there is God all along reaching out to us, longing to enrich us out of his generosity. We might be this morning the poorest person because of our sin, and yet God is willing to reach out to enrich us. And how does he enrich us? Well, the text makes it clear that he enriches us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by giving the Holy Spirit of God to our lives. Let me just tell you that by nature we are what we are. By birth, we are what we answer to. We answer to our nature. We are, as it were, in a locked-in syndrome. We are, as it were, like this. We are inescapably trapped within our own nature. We have, of course, many qualities. And I'm one of those people, I love to look on humanity and see the many qualities of human beings. And I look at it admiringly and I applaud it. But at the end of it, of course, I'm faced with what the Bible says, that our sins are just like scarlet. And the trouble is, so many of us are colourblind, and we're willfully colourblind, and we don't want to see what's wrong with us. We don't want to see our problems. We think of our souls. Are they rich? Oh, let us face up to it. Are our souls rich in mercy? Are they rich in kindness? Are they rich in love? Are they rich in all of the areas where God would wish them to be rich? The truth is, they're not rich in goodness. They're not rich in compassion. They're not rich in generosity. They're not rich towards God. They're not rich in humility. Let me tell you where they are rich. They're rich in pride. And even as I preach, some of you will find it very difficult. And it will always be to do with pride. Pride won't allow me to accept and to acknowledge these things. And God wants our hearts to be enlarged. He wants them to be rich. He wants them to be big with the things of himself. Because by nature they're empty. By nature we are far from God. By nature we are devoid of God. And God would pour the riches of his grace into our lives. I wonder if we have understood that it is God's intention to be generous towards us, to make us rich, not so that we can have a Monte Carlo lifestyle, not so that we can have a flash car or have the furs and all the trappings, but the riches of knowing God, the riches of knowing his Son, the riches of Jesus Christ being in our lives, the riches of the Holy Spirit being upon us. And I can't help but feel compelled whenever I have the opportunity to tell anyone who would listen of the riches of the generosity of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder if any of you thought what you would do if you won the lottery. I'll never win the lottery because I've never done it. I never will do it. But I suppose I must have thought, yes, what would I do if I won the lottery? I think I know what I'd do. I'd help people in need. I'd help people in debt. You know, people who the banks were taking their houses back from them, that kind of thing. People who were struggling to feed their kids. People who were struggling to take their kids on holiday. And I'd just spend all the money that I could on that kind of thing. But of course, you're already thinking, well, by the time he's got from here to Denbighdale and up to High Flats, he'll be absolutely penniless. He'll have used it. Well, I would have, yeah, of course, yeah. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. The riches are the riches of the gospel itself. Some of the ladies in the church have been reading this book. It's an unusual title, Eyes of the Tailless Animals. And it's a compelling story. It's an amazing story. It's a woman's break for freedom from North Korea. She was in prison, a life lost, Quite remarkably, she escaped from prison. She came out of prison and she escaped North Korea. And when she did escape North Korea, she finally came to South Korea after a long journey. And there she found the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now she says that when she goes from church to church and she tells the story of her life, she tells the churches, sure, the people of North Korea, they need rice. But she says the thing that they need more than anything is they need the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the riches of God's grace. The riches are here in the text that in Jesus Christ, he graciously, but not just graciously, but he generously, he's not mean, he pours out his Spirit upon the lives of anyone who would come to the Saviour. So generosity is willing to let go. Generosity is willing to make others rich. And generosity is willing to act. Generosity is in doing, not in thinking. How many of us have never gone beyond thinking to actually acting and doing? It's not an abstract concept, but it's doing. On Wednesday, I came here for the walk. I turned up, and just as I came towards the building, who should come out to meet me but Paul Singleton. Where are you, Paul? Hiding. Ah, there you are. He comes out to meet me. And he comes out holding a Cadbury's picnic bar. Andrew, I bought this, the last one from the tuck shop, for you for the walk. Fantastic. Keep it up. Keep it going. His generosity started in his mind, and then it moved to actions. He did something. And generosity needs to move from thoughts to actuality, to us doing something. And Paul himself, though he says, I'm poor, he says, I'm in the business of making many rich. Look at the word, making. The Apostle Paul was in the business of making many rich. How did he make them rich? He made them rich in the message of the gospel. He told untold numbers the message of the gospel, and the riches of God's grace came to their lives. He was in the business of delivering. And I wanted to say this to you. He had learned it from the best. And if it is that we are not generous. Oh, the Apostle Paul was generous. Oh, was there ever a more generous man? He learned it from the best. And who was the best? Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, his master, was the best. For upon the cross of Calvary, we see that generosity wears its most noble crown. For Jesus comes and he gives his life for sinners. Jesus Christ is the one who is willing to act. He's the one who is willing to do something. Because the thing about all of us is we would find it relatively easy to be generous to someone who we liked and to act on their behalf and to do something for them. But what about being generous to your enemies? That's the radical nature of the gospel. That's why most people can't tolerate it. It's so radical. What, being generous to your enemies? Being generous to those people and acting on their behalf and doing something for them? He gave his life so generously, he acted, he gave up his life upon the cross to bear in his body the sins of all who would put their trust in him. And such is the size and generosity of his love that he will freely accept and receive anyone. He will pardon and forgive anyone who would come to him. What an act of generosity to people just like us here this morning. What surprises me is that people turn down generosity. Now that's the most striking thing. So it's possible to want to be generous. That's great. And if I've stirred you to generosity in your life, then that would be wonderful. But as far as the gospel is concerned, generosity is turned down, right, left and centre. And even as I preach this morning, the generosity of the love of God in Christ may well be turned down by some of you. I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression, but I am a bit old-fashioned. Some would say very old-fashioned, but I am a bit old-fashioned. I still stop my car if I see someone walking by themselves and ask them, do they want to ride? Do they want to lift? I stopped a man coming down from Emily some time ago. He was chucking it down with rain. I've got a car. He's walking it. Why on earth wouldn't I ask him if he wanted to lift? So I did. And he said, yeah. Great. What's the big deal? Only that we live in difficult times and most people turn you down because of mistrust. They're fearful. Some years ago, I stopped in Switzerland and picked up some young students. They thanked me so profusely. They said, why don't you come back to our house and have a drink with us? And I went back with them. And why not? They're complete strangers. Now, you might say, well, you know, you're living in the 1960s, mate, the 1970s or whatever. This is a different time. I realise that. But the point that I'm making is this, is that God gives so generously and we refuse him so often. And he continues to give. And he continues to reach out. And he's always reaching out. And he is never withdrawing his arms. And he's never saying, I wouldn't embrace you. You've turned the Lord down perhaps all of your lives. And you've said no to his generosity all of your lives. And now, even this morning, you might have come here and say, I've always turned the Lord down. Why continue? Why continue to say no to such generosity? And I must confess that any generosity that I've ever shown has always been with mixture. Of course it has. It's always got my own sinfulness in it. But with God, it is without mixture. It is undefiled. It is perfect. How noble and lofty are God's ideals. Would we not be touched this morning by the generosity of the great and glorious God of heaven who sent his dear Son to our world for our sakes? The church, I hope this week has been generous to all of the young people. May God help us to continue to do so. For we have the very best example in the world in the generosity of our God. I read you the text once more. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Well, may God bless his word to each of our hearts. Amen.
Amen.